Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we ask that you be gracious to us. And I pray that you help us to be able to hear what you have to say to us. Open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that is written in the law, in your scripture. And open our ear that we can hear and hear clearly. And open our mind that we can receive your word and hide that within our heart so that we won't sin against you. And fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can not only hear, understand, and help us to be able to do it. So that in all we do, we will be truly blessed by you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Hebrew, chapter 11, verse 4, talk about two kinds of offering. One is offered by Abel. Another is offered by Cain. One is offered by faith. The other is offered by his own way. I would like you to circle the word in verse 4, by faith. In verse 4, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And then circle the word, by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And thirdly, by faith, circle that. He still speaks even though he's dead. In Hebrew chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now let me explain to you what does it mean by faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing the message. The message comes from the word of Christ. Right beside by faith, you write down Romans 10:17. I strongly believe both brothers, Cain and Abel, before they offer sacrifice to God, I strongly believe that God spoke to them, tell them what God liked and what God disliked. God spoke to both of them. Only one person listen to the word of God and do it. When you listen to the word of God, know what pleases God and what displeases God. You don't do what displeases him, you do what pleases him. That is by faith. You can come to the church and offer sacrifice. And I pray that the sacrifice that we offer is light, it is offered by Abel, by faith. Otherwise, all we doing is in vain. The Bible clearly stated that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You do what you like, even though you think you give the best, may not be good enough. I don't know about you. I still remember that when I was young, my father, he loved the chicken butt. And he makes sure that my mom cleaned the butt clean, and then he can eat it. One day his friend come, he say, this is the best part. I give it to you. Oh, the guy said, oh, come on, what is this? This is chicken butt.
I don't like it. You know what I mean? Yeah, you like it. You think this is the best. You give the chicken butt to the other people. You think you honor him. You despise him. Brother and sister, when we come to the church, the reason why we come to the church, we get near to God. We hope that God get near to us. When we get near to God, we hope that we're going to get blessing. But when you come to the church, you don't pay attention to what God say. You don't hide God's word within your heart. And you don't do according to what he tell you. In the end, you displease God, you don't even know. And you don't get the blessing. And your way will not be prosperous and successful. You don't even know why. Okay. Number one. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. I want to go back. Go back to Genesis. Is this possible to, on one place is Genesis, on the other place is the book of Hebrew? Or you cannot do that, eh? Not this time. Okay, no problem. Go back to Genesis chapter 4. Let's take a look what kind of sacrifice Cain offered, what kind of sacrifice Abel offered. Verse 2, the latter part of verse 2, now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. They do different kind of work, one is a shepherd, one is a farmer. Verse 3, actually it's nothing wrong to be a farmer, okay? It's not because he's a shepherd, then it's better. No, he got nothing to do with that. It gets something to do with how he offered sacrifices. In the course of time, Cain offered some of the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. I want to see what's wrong with that. Some of the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And I believe Cain did not offer the sacrifice by faith. And I strongly believe that at that time, Moses wasn't around. So that means there's no Leviticus. But I believe that God is around. And God spoke to them. And what God said will be in conformity with what Leviticus has said. What Moses has said in Leviticus. Would you please turn to Leviticus chapter 2? If you offer any fruit of the soil, it's okay, but you have to follow the instruction. Chapter 2, verse 1. When someone bring a grain offering to the Lord, his offering is to be of fine flour. You can't pick anything you like. Has to be fine flour. Secondly, he is to pour oil on the fine flour. That's the requirement. Why you have to pour oil on it? So that when it burn, it will burn with a fragrance, with aroma. And thirdly, you have to put incense on the fine flour. And then you take it to Aaron. You take it to Aaron's son, the priest. The priest shall take a handful of the fine flour and oil together with all the incense and burn this as a memorial portion on the altar, as an offering made by fire. And if you do that, this becomes an aroma pleasing to the Lord. You don't just pick something and give it to God. You have to listen carefully what God wants you to do. And you do it. I give you another illustration. Verse 14. If you bring a grain offering, a first fruit to the Lord, and then offer crushed head of a new grain, roasted in the fire, and put oil and incense on it, and it is a grain offering. And that is acceptable to God. Has to have what? Oil and incense. If you offer fruit, has to be first fruit. First fruit belongs to the Lord. Offer what belongs to the Lord. I give you one more example. Talk about offering. God say 1/10 belongs to me. You only give 5%. Then you're not offering the offering. You have to give 10%. 10% belongs to the Lord. You don't take what belongs to the Lord. You give 1/10. By faith you do it. And God gonna test you. And He gonna bless you. Don't do what you think is right. I stop here. I want to think it together with you guys. If God is an almighty God, if God is all-knowing God, don't you think in Genesis chapter 4, when God said to Cain, your offering is not acceptable, your brother's offering is better than you, don't you think when God spoke to him like that, don't you think that he did not know that Cain will kill Abel? Did he? No, I want you to think about that. God know that, and He still do it. He allowed His younger son to be a sacrifice so that He can tell the whole world this is exactly what happened. I want you to write that down. Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul saying that, am I now being your enemy when I tell you the truth? When God tell the truth to the king, Cain cannot take it. Cain cannot take it. You know, I see that some pastor, they don't say that. You know, they say, well, when I say that next week, that fellow, he won't come to the church. I'm not worrying about that. You know what I'm worrying about? I'm worrying about Ezekiel. Chapter 3, 16. All the way to 21. I'm a pastor. The Lord called me to be a pastor. That means call me to be a watchman, making sure that I watch over the soul of the brother and sister. My job is to tell what God said. And I know that ahead of time. When God speak to Cain, God know that Cain gonna kill his son, kill his brother. God know that. And God still do it. So that we as a parent, we as a pastor, we as a leader, now a lot of politicians, they don't tell the truth. When they become the prime minister, then they tell you the truth. Okay? Ezekiel saying that. I read that to you. Verse 18, when I say to a wicked man, that's this wicked man, you write down Cain. When I say to Cain, you will surely die. And you do not warn him. You know that he will die. And you do not warn him. And you do not speak out to dissuade him from his evil way in order to save his life. That wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. It's too heavy for me. I don't want God to hold me accountable. Okay? You say it, and you become his enemy. But you become friends of God. You have to make up your mind. When you speak God's word, you become the friends of God, but you become the enemy of the wicked. You have to take a stand. And you tell me what you're going to do. That's why the Bible clearly stated that until now, Abel speak, even though he died. He's still speaking. He's still telling the whole world what will happen when you tell the truth. When you tell the truth, the wicked people will kill you. What Genesis is saying is exactly what Jesus is saying in Gospel of John, chapter 15. Please turn to it. Gospel of John, chapter 15. A lot of Christians, they don't speak God's word because they know that they are afraid to make enemy of man, but they are not afraid to become enemy of God. 15:18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hates me first. If you belong to the world would love you as its own, as it is. You do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. And that is why the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecute Jesus, they will persecute you also. If they obey Jesus' teaching, and they will obey your teaching also. They will treat you this way because of my name. Right beside my name, you write down, because of his word. The word of God is the name of Jesus. Revelation 19:13. They treat you this way because of my name, because of Jesus' teaching, because of Jesus' word. Abel obeyed Jesus' word. And he offered a sacrifice that pleases God. Cain offered the sacrifice to God according to his own way. He didn't care less whether God liked it or not. For they do not know the one whom, they do not know the one who sent me. Verse 22. If I have not come and spoken to them, Jesus Christ not only come, he come to speak to them, spoken to them, right beside Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16 to 21. When he tell you to do things, he himself do it and set example for you to follow. I say that one more time. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. They know that. I believe Cain is the one who liked to argue with God. In the future, when Jesus Christ judged Cain, he's going to say, Cain, because you disobey me, I told you the truth, and you killed your brother, now I send you to hell. And Cain cannot say, wow, how come you send me to hell? How come you don't warn me severely? And God warned him, but he refused to listen. And Jesus' hand is clean. You don't warn your children, you don't warn the congregation, and they don't know, God gonna hold you accountable to that. Two things that Jesus have done. Jesus not only spoke God's word, Jesus performed God's word. Verse 23. He who hates me hates my father as well. If I have not done among them what no one else did, that is, cause the blind can see. Open the eyes of the blind. they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen this miracle. Yet they have hated both me and my Father. This is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hate me without reason. Now I use this opportunity to mention about yesterday is Halloween. Those people who has house, I dissuade you from giving candy to your neighbor. Okay? I give you some Bible verses so that next year, if you've done wrong, I want you to pray to God and ask God to forgive you. If you've done right, keep on doing it. And one of these days, you make friends with your neighbor and tell them not to do it. I would like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You have to separate yourself from the world. Don't follow them. Don't follow their custom. Don't follow their pattern. Influence them. Change them. Don't let them change you. Chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Satan? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and the idol? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them. Don't follow them. When they celebrate Halloween, you don't celebrate Halloween. You come out from them. You write that down right beside here, come out from them. You write down the church. You know what mean the church mean? The church mean they call out, they come out from the world. That means church. They don't follow what the world are doing, okay? Come out from them and be separate. Touch no unclean things, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my son and daughter, say the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Don't celebrate Halloween anymore. Don't give out candy. Turn off the light and let them know no Halloween. By your action, you tell other people you follow the pattern of Abel. Abel offered a sacrifice to God that's pleasing God. Cain offered a sacrifice to God that doesn't please God. By your action, you tell the whole world that you belong to Jesus Christ. You try to do that. When you try to do that, your neighbor is going to hate you. Unless you do a lot of other good things. In Christmas time, give them some homemade cake, cookie and stuff like that to mend that relationship. Be the salt of the world. Be the light of the world. They give out candy, you give out candy, they say, well, you're my friend. We do the same thing. No, you separate yourself. By separating yourself from them, God say, you are my people and I'm your God. You are my son and I'm your father. That means you will get blessing. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4. And then also turn to Genesis chapter 4. I go back. Chapter 4, verse 4. But Abel brought bad portion from some of the firstborn. I want to circle the word, that portion. In the Old Testament, according to Moses, according to the Bible, that belongs to God. Anyone who eat that will be struck down. Well, you say, I didn't struck down, I like steak, I like fat, you know. Well, you keep on eating. And one of these days, you're going to follow the footsteps of Bill Clinton. He need a triple bypass, okay, in your heart. Fat belongs to God. And then Abel give what belongs to God back to God. He brought fat portion. You write down fat portion. Belongs to God. When that portion put it under the fire, it smells good. And God is acceptable to God. Second thing belongs to God. Firstborn of his flock. He give what belongs to God back to God. So this people, this person, Abel, is the one belong to Jesus. He obeyed God's word. That means he believed Jesus' name. When God spoke to him, he listened and he do it. And then the Bible say in verse 5, I leave out the latter portion of verse 4. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. When he offer a better sacrifice, the Lord is pleased with him. So that's why the Lord looked with favor on him and on his offering. Brother and sister, don't you realize if our offering displeased the Lord, the Bible say in verse 5, but on Cain and his offering, the Lord did not look with favor. Our offering reflect who we are. Our offering, our ministry, our service reflect who we are. Are we the righteous one or are we the wicked one? If you do exactly what pleases the Lord commands you as righteousness. Go back to Hebrew chapter 11, verse 4. Second thing, by faith. By faith, Abel was commanded as righteousness. Isn't it? In the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 22, if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness from God will come to us and God will credit us with righteousness because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And Abel did not know Jesus Christ. And how can he be commanded as righteousness? Because he obeyed God's word. I want you to write beside the right 22. Chapter 3, verse 22, Romans. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Abel has faith in Jesus Christ. He said, Pastor John, how can Abel have faith in Jesus Christ? Right beside Jesus Christ, you write down the word of God. You write down Revelation 19, 13. In the Old Testament, when you believe in the word of the Lord, you hear his word, you believe in it, and you do something about that. That means you have faith in Jesus. Jesus' name is the word of God. When you have faith in Jesus, that means you have faith in his word, you believe in his word. Is that what you say? That's what I'm going to do. Then God commanded him, righteous. You are the righteous person. But Abel didn't care. Abel, he cared about God's word. Cain did not care less about God's word. When God spoke to him, He didn't care less. He kept on doing what he liked to do. So that's why the Bible says, my people perish for their lack of knowledge. My people perish because they're ignorant. I go back. In verse 5, but on Cain and his offering, the Lord did not look with favor, so Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. You know why people will go to hell? Because when they hear God's word, when they hear the truth, he become angry. I want you right beside that. When you become angry, you will go to hell. That's exactly the lesson James learned. Before James believed in Jesus Christ, when he hear what Jesus say, he despised his brother Jesus. He got angry with Jesus. And he learned the lesson. You know what did he say? In James chapter 1 verse 19, when you come to Jesus, you sit right beside him. You don't sit far away. You listen carefully what he has to say to you. Pay attention to what he has to say. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You follow the foolish man, you become a foolish man. You follow a wise man, you become a wise man. Cain was very angry when he heard God's word, and his face was downcast. What is the reason why God spoke to him like that? It's so that he can change. He's supposed to repent. It is okay to offer the wrong offering, but when you know that it's wrong, it's not good enough, you don't be angry. I want you to write that down right beside anger. You write down, not equal to David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, King David wanted to build God's temple. And Nathan said, wow, this is a good idea. Go and do it because God is with you. And later on, God spoke to the prophet Nathan. I want you to tell David, I don't want David to build God's temple. I want his son to build God's temple. And David did not become angry. He said, you don't want me to build? I prepared the material for my son to build. And that person is the righteous person. When you hear God's word, you're not good enough to build, but doesn't mean that you're not good enough to prepare material for your son to build. He did what God wanted him to do. That guy pleased God. You know what? You go to the church, when another brother say to you, oh, don't wear a skirt, you know, so short, and he becomes so angry, and next week he don't come back. When someone say to you like that, you don't like it, you go to a Pastor John and say, is it true that don't wear a skirt like that? Let hear what Pastor John say. Don't become angry so easily. Listen carefully. You know what happened? He become angry so easily. What's the next step? When you become angry, you're going to kill him. He has the power. He's going to kill his brother. You know what? After he killed his brother, and God asked him, where's your brother? He said, am I my brother keeper? How do I know where's my brother? Actually, just kill him. What do you mean you don't know where he is? Right? When you become angry, and you're going to sin against God by lying, by arguing with God, slow to speak. When God say to you, where is your brother? You say, God, when I become so angry, I kill him. Could you forgive me? You know what? There are so many red light. He ran through it one after another. One of these days, he's going to get hit in the intersection. The first red light is say, your offering is not as good. Second red light is, how come you're angry? The red light is, how come you're downcast? You should be happy. He said, Pastor John, how come you say they're happy? Right beside downcast, you write down Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. My son, if your father discipline you, you do not become downcast, you do not become angry. You should know that, because your father loves you. That's why he's telling you the truth. Because he didn't want you to go to hell. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. And do not resent his rebuke. Do not be downcast. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. He loves you. He didn't want you to go to hell. But that guy doesn't have God's word. He say, well, you don't like me. You know, you despise me in front of my brother. You say things like that. Oh, I can't take it anymore. That's why you go to hell. Hey, people go to hell has to have a reason for that. Because he's stupid. James say that. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. How come you say, am I my brother keeper so quick to say? You say, yeah, you know that. You see that I killed my brother. Will you please forgive me? I won't do it anymore. Brother and sister, do you hear what I say? Do you hear that? Quick to hear, slow to speak. Consider what you speak. Don't lie to God. And slow to become angry. And that will save your soul. Remember, whoever disciplines you is the one who loves you. Proverbs say the same thing. If a father did not discipline his own son, he wants his son to go to hell. If a pastor did not teach God's word to the congregation, the pastor wants the congregation to go to hell. And he himself go to hell too. Because in Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 18 to 19, I'm going to hold you accountable to that. Because I say it to you, Cain is a wicked man, you don't want him, and he go to hell, I'm going to hold you accountable to that. Go back. Verse 10. The Lord said, what have you done, Cain? Listen. You know why God has to say listen? Because he didn't want to listen. When people say to you, listen, that means you don't listen. Listen, your brother's blood cry out to me from the ground. I want you to write that down. You write down. 11. Hebrew 11, 4. C. C. Go back to Hebrew 11, C. By faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. What Abel is speaking, his blood cry out to God. He say, God, when are you going to take the revenge? I leave room to you. It is you who take the revenge for me. That is what Abel is crying out. That symbolizes God is just. You kill your brother, unless you repent and confess your sin. Otherwise, in due time, God gonna answer the prayer of Abel. When Abel died, he cried out to God, God, you see what my brother has done to me, you're going to deliver me. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 26. There's two persons who was killed. Because one person was killed because of the righteous act, another person was killed because of the righteous act also. Matthew chapter 23. Verse 33, you snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore, I am sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. The reason why Jesus Christ sent the prophet, sent the wise man, and sent the teacher among you is to save you from hell, so that you won't be condemned to hell. Some of the prophets, some of the teachers, some of the wise men, you will kill because they tell you the truth. And you will crucify. Other, you will flock in your synagogue and pursue them from tongue to tongue. Verse 35. So upon you, because you shed blood, will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth. From the blood of righteous Abel, you write down Genesis chapter 4. To the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Verse 36, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. All this will come upon this generation. In other words, the prayer of Abel will be heard by Jesus in due time. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Now go back to Matthew chapter 24. I want you to write down two things. Right beside chapter 24, verse 35, Abel, and then another person called Zechariah. Right beside Abel, you write down Genesis chapter 4, and then Zechariah, you write down 2 Chronicles chapter 24. 17 to 25. The Jewish Bible is different from the Christian Bible. The Jewish Bible has only what? 39 books. The Jewish Bible has only 39 books, only Old Testament. The first book of the Old Testament is Genesis. The last book of the Bible for Old Testament is 2 Chronicles. So what Jesus say is, from the beginning of time, the first person shed was, the blood was shed, the righteous person with blood shed is Abel. And then according to the Bible, in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, the last blood was shed in the Old Testament is Zechariah. But our Christian Bible, the end of the Old Testament is Malachi. Okay? Now, Jesus said that. Let's take a look what those people has done to the prophet Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah is different from the book of Zechariah. Okay, it's two different person. Okay, I read that 24:17. After the death of Jehoiada. Jehoiada is the father of Zechariah. The officials of Judah came and paid homage to the king. You know what? When any person comes to you and pay homage to you because he wants you to go to hell, don't accept this kind of homage. Okay? If anyone flatter you, say that you are good, then you are in deep trouble. And the king is still bit in love to listen to them. And then they abandoned the temple of the Lord, the God of their father, and worshiped idols. Ezra calls an idol. Because of their guilt, God's anger came upon Judah and Jerusalem. Although the Lord sent prophets plural to the people to bring them back to him, and though they testified against them, they would not listen. Then finally, God sent his servant Zechariah. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah. You know what? Without the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, Zechariah has no courage to do that. Because he knows that when he do this, then he will be killed. Zechariah stood before the people and said, "This is what God said. Do you disobey the Lord's command? You will not prosper. Because you have forsaken the Lord, and the Lord has forsaken you." Verse 21. But they plotted against him, and by order of the king, they stoned him to death in the courtyard of the Lord's temple. King Joash did not remember the kindness of Zechariah's father. Jehoiada has shown him but killed his son. He repaid good with evil. Who said? Zechariah said as he lay dying, "May the Lord see this and call you account." I want you to write that down. These two persons, one person was killed, another person was stoned to death. These two persons cry out to God and ask God to take revenge. "May the Lord see this and call you to account." This is exactly the same as chapter 4, Genesis, verse 10. "Your brother's blood cry out to me from the ground." What did he cry out? "May the Lord see this and call you to account." You know what happened? Later on, all this official was struck dead. And then the son, and then the king was struck dead too. It takes time for God to hold them accountable, because God gives them time to repent. And God see that they refuse to repent, and they were struck down. For saving the time, you go and read it yourself. I want to go back, tell you something better. Tell you something good news. Right beside chapter 11, book of Hebrew, chapter 11, verse 4, you write down chapter 12. Hebrew, chapter 12. Hebrew chapter 12, verse 25, all the way to 27. "See to it that you do not refuse him who speak. If they did not escape when they refuse him who warned them on earth, how much less will we? If we turn away from him who warned us from heaven, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, 'Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.'" The words "one more time" indicate that the removing of what can be shaken, and that is creating things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Anything that can be shaken will be shaken. Only the kingdom of God will not be shaken. And how can I enter the kingdom of God? Verse 28. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. How can we, who are wicked, can enter the unshakable kingdom of God? The key word is in 24. We come to Mount Sinai. In Mount Sinai, there's the sprinkled blood that speak a better word than the blood of Abel. What did the sprinkled blood, right beside the sprinkled blood, is the sprinkled blood of Jesus Christ. Right beside that, you write down, what did Jesus say when he was on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That is the sprinkled blood of our Lord God Jesus Christ has speak out to the Heavenly Father. Forgiveness. But the blood of Abel, but the blood of Zechariah, cry out to God for accountable for that blood. One talk about the love of God for forgiveness, other talk about the righteousness of God for judgment. It is up to us. When we hear the word of God, we turn to Jesus, then we turn around, we receive forgiveness. For God hear the prayer of a righteous man like Jesus Christ. And God also hear the prayer of Abel. He's a righteous man too. Also, God hear the prayer of Zechariah. He's a righteous man too. Am I right? It is up to you to take a stand. Which way do you go? You take a stand to ignore that warning. You do not fear God. You go to hell. You take a stand to repent and follow Jesus Christ. You enter into the unshakable kingdom of God. God say, I forgave you, for you do not know what you do. And then by faith, Abel was commended as righteousness. You believe in that? You ask for forgiveness? And you believe that Jesus will forgive you? Yes, he will forgive you. Because the Bible clearly stated that the sprinkled blood of Jesus Christ speak the better word than the blood of Abel. Am I right? One call for the accountable to God, right? Judge them, because they kill me. And then Jesus say, forgive them, even though they kill me. Our Heavenly Father, we heard what you have said to us. We know what is the right way, what is the wicked way. That's why in 1 John chapter 3, the Apostle John speaks to us. Don't follow the way of the king. He offered the wrong sacrifice and he refused to repent. He ended up killing his brother. He's getting worse and worse. And he walked away from you. And in Genesis chapter 4, we know that in the seventh generation of Cain, and their offspring is even worse than Cain. Lord, I pray that you help us to pay attention and listen to your word. When someone telling us the truth, we are quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Don't be a fool. And help us to control ourselves. And turn around and repent. When we turn to Jesus Christ, our Lord, and ask Jesus for forgiveness, he's faithful and he's just. He will forgive all our sins and cleanse all our unrighteousness. And he's going to credit us with righteousness. That righteousness is the righteousness from God. Anyone who has the righteousness from God will be able to enter the kingdom of God. That kingdom is unshakable. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you have mercy to your servant every time when he speak clearly to your children so that you can save them all. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, Amen.